All right, invite you to open your Bible with me if you would like to Psalm 134. And just as a reminder, this past summer, we did a sermon series where we went through the Psalms of Ascents and looked at this particular section of Psalms that the pilgrims would sing when they would go up to Jerusalem, Psalm 120 through 134. And those of you who are observant may have noticed that we left 134 off. We got to 133 and then we stopped. And several people did ask me, they said, what happened to Psalm 134? And here we are at Thanksgiving and we are going to finish it off. And we saved Psalm 134 for Thanksgiving. So hear now the word of the Lord from Psalm 134. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the way that you have blessed us, and you've blessed us tonight even, Lord, as we come together with your word, which every time we open it gives us light, gives us wisdom, and edifies us. Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we read your word together, as we study your word tonight, and that you would use it to transform our hearts and draw us closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to just share for a few minutes here some reflections on Psalm 134, and I want you to see, if you look at this with me, and if you have your Bible, keep it open, or if you closed it, open it back up and look at Psalm 134. And I want you to see that there's two different types of blessing in this psalm. And the first blessing is one that we offer, and the second blessing is one that God offers. There's a blessing that goes upward to God, and then there's a second blessing that comes downward. And so the question I want to ask you tonight is, what's the relationship between these two kinds of blessing? What's the relationship between our blessing and God's blessing? And that might seem like a small question, but if we get that wrong, we'll actually fundamentally misunderstand our relationship to God. So look at it with me again and see that the first two verses show us this first blessing, and this is the blessing we offer up to God. It says, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Now, what does it mean to bless the Lord? It doesn't mean that we give something to God that he doesn't already have or that he needs. God is in need of nothing. And so when we say we bless the Lord, we're not blessing with something he needed or that he doesn't already have. To bless the Lord means to acknowledge his greatness. It means to praise his name. Just like Psalm 29 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. So this psalm is calling upon God's people to praise him, to acknowledge his greatness that he deserves. And it's interesting that it describes the servants of the Lord. It says, if you look again at verse 1, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Now that might refer to just the Levites, the men who would serve in the house of the Lord, or it might refer to God's people in general. But what's interesting is, in Scripture, there's not very many examples of people doing much in the house of the Lord at night. I mean, there are a few examples, but that's not a common period where there would be a lot going on in the house of the Lord. And so some Bible scholars look at this and actually think that the word night there might actually be more of a symbolic word to communicate that we need to bless the Lord, not just in the daytime, but the nighttime, meaning not just in times of joy, but in times of sadness. You know, the nighttime in Scripture is often a metaphor for times of difficulty. For example, Psalm 30 says, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. If the night is a symbol for sorrow, then this psalm might be calling upon God's people to bless him regardless of our circumstances, whether day or night, happiness or sorrow. So we are called to bless the Lord. But remember I said there's two types of blessing. If you look at the psalm, there's two types of blessing. The first one is one that goes upward. The second one is one that comes downward. Look again at verse 3. It says, "May the Lord bless you from Zion, who made heaven and earth." So we bless God, and then there's also a blessing that God gives us. Now, what I want you to know is that the blessing God gives us is not like the blessing we give him. I said just a moment ago that when we bless God, we're not giving him something that he doesn't already have. He doesn't need anything. He has everything. And so we're not giving him something that he needs. He doesn't need anything from us, but we're simply acknowledging his greatness and we're praising him. But when God blesses us, it is very, very different. When God blesses us, he is giving us something that we need because we're dependent upon God for everything that we need and everything that we have. And so when God blesses us, he is giving us something that we need. Think about it this way. Without us, God still has everything. But without God, we have nothing. That's the difference between us and God. And that's why you have many places throughout the scriptures where God's people call upon God to bless us. To bless us. So here's the question I want to ask. There's a blessing that we give to God. There's a blessing he gives to us. What's the relationship between those two things? What is the relationship or the connection? That's a very, very important question because I would argue that most people operate with a transactional view of blessing. What do I mean by that? The transactional view says, I bless God so that he'll bless me. Right? Why do I bless God? I bless him so that he will bless me. In other words, that view assumes that if I just do the right things for God, if I attend church, if I live a decent life, then God will give me his blessing. And all of the pagan religions in the ancient world operated this way. They said, if we offer enough things to God, then or to the gods, then they will give to us whatever it is we want, whatever it is we need. And a lot of people still operate with that view today. They sort of see God as a vending machine. If you put the right stuff in, then what you want will come out. There's a few problems with that view, though. The first problem is that it assumes that God owes me something. That if I've just lived a faithful life, that if I've just done the right things, then he owes me something. But God doesn't owe us anything, according to Scripture. There's nothing that you or I can do to put God in our debt. Now, another problem with that transactional view is that it just assumes some guaranteed results. It assumes, again, that if I just put the right stuff in the machine, then I'm going to get out exactly what it is that I want. But we know that that's not necessarily true. And in fact, we see in Scripture that some of the most faithful people in the Bible encountered some of the greatest difficulty. Think about Job. Think about Paul, who went through trials. And then another problem with that transactional view, I bless God so that he'll bless me, is that it really, what it leads to is resentment. Because if the reason I'm blessing God is so that he will bless me back, then as soon as he doesn't bless me the way I hoped that he would, I'm going to start to get angry at God. I'm going to resent God because he hasn't done for me what I wanted him to do. That transactional view of blessing is a spiritual dead end. And more importantly, it's not the view of blessing that we see in Scripture. So what is the view of blessing in the Bible? Well, the view of blessing you see in the Bible is not a transactional view. It's what we might call a bountiful view of blessing. Instead of saying, I bless God so that he'll bless me, the bountiful view says, God has blessed me, so I will bless him. See how that's the complete opposite? It's not, I bless God, and then only then will he bless me. It's, he has already blessed me, therefore I will respond by blessing him. I want you to notice the first approach is just totally works-based. The second approach is grace-based. And the bountiful view is the view that we see throughout the whole Bible. God blesses his people first, and then they respond by blessing him. And you see it over and over again throughout the scriptures. You remember not too long ago when we went through the book of Exodus, God didn't say to the Hebrews when they were in Egypt, well, you need to do enough for me, and then I will let you out of the land. No, he freed them by his grace, and then called them to obey him out of gratitude and gave them the law. And that's the pattern you see over and over and over again in the scriptures. God blesses us, and so then we bless him in response. Of course, the greatest example of this is the gospel itself. God doesn't send his son as a reward for the righteous, but as a gift for the guilty. Paul says in Romans 5, God shows for his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul doesn't say in Romans 5, God shows his love for us in that, well, while we blessed him just enough, then he sent his son to be our Savior. He says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. John says in 1 John 4, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The message of the gospel is not, if you bless God, he'll bless you. The message of the gospel is that God has blessed you with the greatest gift imaginable in Jesus Christ, and therefore we are called to bless God because of what he's already done for us. So what I hope you see is that the transactional view, again, is really, if you operate according to that view, then your relationship with God is going to be that you are in relationship with him primarily to get something from him. But according to the bountiful view, we bless God as an expression of gratitude for his grace. And that is why Paul can say in Ephesians 3, listen to these words now, when you have that whole framework in the back of your head, listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 3, at 1 verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. See what Paul does there? He offers a blessing to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has blessed us already in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The reason believers can bless God is because he's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So every time you come to Psalm 134, I want you to see the blessing going in two directions. And yes, in Psalm 134, the first is the call for God's people to bless him. But don't misunderstand that order. It's not telling us that we should do that because then and only then God will bless us. We bless him because he has already blessed us. He is a God of grace. His grace is the always taking the initiative in our lives. And that's why no matter what season that we find ourselves in, the day or the night, the joy or the sadness, we can come together and we can bless the Lord. And we can bless his holy name. So let's pray together once again. Heavenly Father, we do bless you. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you have done in our lives. We thank you most of all for the gift of your Son, the gift of the gospel. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to bless you all of our days, no matter what season we find ourselves in, remembering that you've given us the greatest of all gifts, and remembering, Lord, that even though you owed us nothing, you have given us everything, and you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So help us to make our lives an offering to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.